Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the F&M Group 1H 2022 consolidated results presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the initial presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance to the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this point, I'd like to hand you over to Ms. Minazzi, Investor Relations Manager. Ms. Minazzi, you have the floor. Thank you, and good afternoon. Welcome, and thank you very much for attending this conference call on the results of the F&M Group as at the 30th of June 2022. Mr. Puri and Ms. Montanari will illustrate the consolidated results of the F&M Group for the first months of 2022. At the end of the presentation, there will be the possibility to ask questions. Let me hand you over to Mr. Puri. Now, good afternoon to you all. On my behalf as well, I'm very pleased to be able to report the results of the first half of 2022, which, despite the overall global context is complex, the results confirm that the F&M Group all together, since it shows resilience, is capable also to manage the variables of its own businesses. As we said yesterday during after the approval of the board of directors with our press release, all the items, revenues, EBITDA and EBIT, are growing versus the same period of 2021. And this takes into account the accounts, including MISE, consolidated as of February 2021, but also the pro forma results of the company. If we take the pro forma results, we see an improvement of 15% of revenues, EBITDA 20%, EBIT 22%, with a net financial position which is stable. So considering the context, we're very satisfied of the results of the first 6 months of the year. In a while, Valentina will give you the details of the single individual business and segments thereof. Let me just tell you that the capability to manage a variable, especially traffic and demand for transportation, over the first 6 months, what comes out is that for all segments, there is an increase of demand, but it becomes even more positive when it comes to motorways, both Serra Valle and Pedemontana. Heavy-duty traffic is even higher than what it was before the beginning of the pandemic, 2019, whereas when it comes to other transportation, there is an increase of, let's say, light traffic vehicles. It's going quite well, although Serra Valle is a bit below 2019. But the context, as you know, is quite complex. Let's consider transportation on road, so road transportation. In the case of road transportation as well, data are positive, quite a considerable increase for road transportation. We have an increase of 30% of demand for trains, so we have an increase by 50% of demand. Here we are witnessing a progressive return to the use of public transportation. As to regulated businesses, we are somewhat far away from the pre-COVID data. as for trains, the demand to and from Milan transportation, the organization of different service companies in Milan are still in a remote working modality, and we still have a number of passengers who are not going to work live in presence. In the next few months, we should have to understand whether this is becoming a structural trend or whether we can recover some passengers. Now, in the second part of the year, it will be interesting to see, for instance, what happens in the world of university students. In the first part of 2022, they partially attended classes live. So the picture confirms overall the positive trends that we had foreseen. Specifically, and then I leave the floor to Valentina, who will give you the details of different businesses. What we see is that an overall increase in different segments with different percentages for revenues. So trains plus 11%, road transportation plus 14%, and motorways plus 20% overall. When it comes to F&M activities as such, Roscoe and services, revenues are not still aligned. This is due to the fact that we are still negotiating the service contract with Trenord, and we have here some delays because of the delivery of certain trains, but we are partly speaking of a phasing delay. As to margins, let's take EBITDA. Now, trains have a positive EBITDA. Motorways plus 33% of EBITDA versus the same period of last year, whereas we have a negative service for Roscoe services and road transportation. The same applies to Trenord. Now, reasons and factors are different. Over and above what I said before about Roscoe activities, within F&M in particular, there is an increase of costs connected to services and the number of services necessary to manage all of the projects that have been launched in these months by the group and which require an involvement of skills and people which the group is trying to find. As to the road transportation, the important data is related by the increase in the costs of fuels. The main company of the group in Verona has 150 buses fueled by natural gas, and you know quite well what has occurred with prices of natural gas. And then we have the issue of government contributions. In this moment, the government resources devoted to contributions are given on the basis of cash and not on the basis of competence, and so we are lagging behind 1 year. And so with the ministry, we are defining the levels of contribution or grants given by the ministry, by the government, for 2021. Now, as to 2022, the ministry has prepared a form to be filled out by the companies, which then will calculate the requirements, and the grants will be issued later on the year after. As to Trenord, for this first 6 months of the year, we haven't taken into account the government's grants and contributions, and therefore the results are also affected by the fact that we still do not know how much the government will give us based on our requirements. I'd like to leave the floor to Valentina, who will go into the details of the different segments, and then I'll come back later on. Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. and let me get into the details of the different segments. Let's go to trains, the regulated business, where we have higher revenues by 11.2%. This is due to program higher service revenues from program agreement, designing activities, network maintenance, and then partially offset by the efficiency mechanism provided by the service contract. And then we have higher leasing revenues on the rolling stock in the use of to Trenord. Now, the increase of revenues from a program contract or agreement, as I said, are partially offset by the efficiency mechanism, which is envisaged year-on-year in the service contract. And then, as I said, we have higher revenues on leasing on the rolling stock given to use to Trenord related to investments made by Regione Lombardia, and an increase of income from commercial activities, rents, and the sale of inventory residues, inventories which are no longer used by the business. As to the EBITDA from 3.4 to 8.7 million, so an increase from 5.3% EBITDA margin to 12.2%. This is due to a lower than proportional increase in costs, and then lower personnel costs due also to the recovery or decrease of sickness leaves or allowances, and then higher provisions for rolling stock fleet maintenance, and then increase in utilities and IT systems expenses. In 2021, we had a negative one-off of 1.1 million euros, which, of course, affects the dynamic or the comparison between the first half of 2022 and the first half of 2021. ROSC, you can see an increase of revenues by 0.5%. This is due to lower revenues from rolling stock leasing due to the renewal of leasing contracts and contracts on TAF and CSA trains, which are progressively underwritten with Trenord with decreasing leasing costs. All of this was foreseen, and the effects actually materialized. And then higher proceeds from service contracts and IT services provided to group companies. In the first half of 2021, we had a positive one-off from the sale of a building of 300,000 euros. The EBITDA went down, goes down from 23.9 to 20.8 million due to higher personnel costs and higher operating expenses. As to the road passenger mobility, we have an increase of revenues from 60.1 to 68.7. Now, due to the reasons I have already mentioned, we see an EBITDA from 6.2 to 5 million, which is basically due to the fuel costs, energy costs, and also of subcontracting. Now, revenues are growing because of higher revenues from transportation, more passengers transported, and an increase of outsourced services, and also car sharing services are increasing. Then we have higher proceeds from public contracts and grants, mainly because of the higher euro per kilometer recognized by the Regione Veneto, the Veneto region. We have government compensations in line year on year, 7.2 million versus 71 million euros in the first half of 2021, of which 2.7 million euros versus 4.4 million compensations due to lower revenues, 4.4 million in the year, and 2.8 million euros for compensations for additional services. We have also released a provisions by 0.5 million euros to, that was, as I said, released because of the settlements of certain production agreements that were closed in 2020. As to the motorways segments, we have an increase of revenues by 23%. The most relevant components here we have, which is an increase of greater traffic. Traffic has been higher versus what it was in 2019 for heavy-duty vehicles, and almost a recovery for light-heavy duties or light-duty vehicles, and an increase in tariffs that we had ever since January 2022. Higher revenues from service areas concessions, thanks to traffic increase and renewal of some contracts at more favorable economic conditions. And then we have EBITDA, which grows because of an increase in traffic and an increase of concession fees, higher net provisions because of plant maintenance, and greater costs related to maintenance or plant maintenance work, higher labor costs, which are mainly related to redundancy incentives, so that to make our structure more efficient and in line with the future requirements. As to Trenord, I leave the floor to Mr. Puri, who also in his capacity of CEO of Trenord as well knows the company very, very well. Thank you, Valentina. I said it already, the positive data is the progressive increase in passengers, although when it comes to the comparison with 2019, we have still 25% of passengers to recover on a yearly basis. The other side of the coin of what I said before about the organization of work in Milan and the presence of a number of people still working from home, so this is quite significant. The increase of ticketing revenues is greater or proportionally greater than the number of passengers we transport, because the average revenue per passenger has grown. The use of trains that we have in this moment, unlike 2019, many passengers are not commuters. These are people who use the train a couple of days a week or a month, and therefore do not enjoy discounts versus commuters that have a subscription. So, positive data. Ticketing revenues, as I said, are going up. Grants and compensations from the government, we believe, are growing, but we have to, we are lagging behind 1 year. For 2021, we completed the calculations that the ministry will do. The required or the necessary requirements are around 75 million euros. But here we haven't posted anything in terms of grants and compensation by the government. We're waiting for a decision by the ministry. And for this reason, we still find a negative EBIT, although, as you can see, there is a big difference versus what it was in 2021. Now, as to Trenord, we have an increase in costs. We are progressively increasing the number of personnel to make up for the people that left the company in 2020, 2021, so as to be able to then make sure that we have enough people to manage the service in 2022, the year when the service went back to full activities. As to Misa, we have more or less the same thing. Revenues are growing by 30%. EBITDA goes up quite considerable, not comparable to other businesses, but this is a very, very positive data. Valentina, let's now go on to the waterfall of results from 93.4 million euros of EBITDA. We do not have extraordinary gains or expenses. We have 47.4 million euros of write-down and depreciation, which include the depreciation of a goodwill and the right of use of ATV. There is an impairment process that was put in place in the first 6 months, and greater depreciation on motorway infrastructure. This leads to an EBIT of 46 million euros compared with 37.7 million euros like-for-like in 2021. Lower financial charges due basically to the rate on lower rate on the bond versus the bridge loan. Taxes 13.5 million euros, adjusting the result at 29.8 million euros, and considering the performance of companies consolidated at equity, Trenord and Pedemontana, well, the net result goes down to 9.7 million euros compared to 27.5 million euros in 2021 negative. And you see here we close a group net result with 21.4 million euros versus a loss of 8.1 million euros in 2021. CapEx analysis. Now here you see on the chart the overall CapEx 386.4 million euros, of which 284 million euros are the investments for the train purchase plan financed by Regional Lombardy, and 103 million euros are investments made by the group. As to the cash flow, we shall see it in the next. On the chart on the right, investments paid 191 million euros, 129 related to the train plan financed by Regione Lombardia, which are not included in the adjusted financial position. And then we have advances and payments, and then 62 million euros financed by the group, where we have the main component, 28 million euros, which is paid by Regione Lombardia related to the train network activities. As to the consolidated cash flow waterfall, next slide, we have a difference in the net working capital. We have here some delays in cashing in money from tolls, from motorways, because of interconnections and rules of payments of interconnected activities. We have paid investments 62 million euros, and then 6.8 million euros of taxes, and we have 2.4 million euros of net financial expenses. We have then acquired another stake in TEM, moving from 18.8% to 22.5% for a consideration of 8.4 million euros, but we sold the share of Milano Serravalle within Brebemi for €6.3 million. At the end of the period, the cash flow of the period is equal to 0.5. And then cash flow from operation, €68 million, and cash flow generation, plus €5.7 million. Net financial position, next slide, you see it, that is stable from December to June. We have limited changes, cash flow of the period that we saw before. IFRS 16 effect, €2.4 million, and other effects, €1.9 million, which leads the net financial position from 755.6 million to 644.8 million euros. We have then restricted cash deriving from the credit of grants, and for this reason, you see then the overall net financial position at the end of June is €644.8 million. Let me now move on to the chart about debts. So €644.8 million of net financial position, of which a hundred are the net financial position of Mise. And then we have to take into account 111.8 million euros of IFRIC 12 effect on financed rolling stock, and the gross debt is 973 million euros, adjusted net financial position is 756.6 million euros, and 43 million euros of payables for funded investments. And as I said, the gross debt is 973 million euros, which is made up of 67% bond, 19% debt of Milano Serravalle, which is going down. These are debts which are progressively reimbursed. And then we have a component of EIB financing, and then we have a share of debts related to leasing contracts in line with IFRS 16. That is 86% non-current at a fixed rate, and the average cost is 1.35. We have a liquidity headroom available, uncommitted credit lines of €141 million, and the rating in the period maintained stable, both for Moody's and Fitch. As to the debt maturity structure, next slide, we have a debt which is basically long-term. The main component thereof is the bond with maturity in 2026. And the Mise debt maturity is stable and is bound to decline between 2022 and 2026. At this point, we can move on to the guidance. Thank you. To conclude, as to the end of 2021, so the full year, we confirm the results, which means that we confirm the results, but we shall keep looking at the external variables, cost of energy and inflation, but our outlook is stable, and if we take the pro forma results, EBITDA 10-15%, revenues are low teens, and the net financial position in line with the rating agency's requirements, and then the adjusted net financial position and EBITDA equal ratio equal to 4. So our own guidance set of confirming this positive trend that we have had so far. Thank you. At this point, we can take your question, and we can then answer your questions. This is the Chorus Call operator. We are now going to begin the Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. Now, the first question by Dario Michi with the BNP Paribas Fund. Thank you. Good afternoon to you all. The first question is about an update on the regulatory framework. Are there any news about the approval of the financial business plan of MISE? As far as you are concerned, are there going to be any impacts, any effects about the renewal of 1 year only, the contract between Reggio Lombardia and Trenord, the renewal at the current conditions? I'd like to know also what kind of maintenance costs related to energy are you facing in this moment? I guess an increase. A question on MISE. Do you expect a compensation grants because of lower revenues in 2020 and 2021? And if you expect such a grant or compensation, can you give us an indication about the amount? Then inflation, do you expect an effect of inflation on service contracts? And what kind of inflation rate have you integrated, have you considered as far as MISE is concerned? Now, let me answer the first question about regulatory issues, a framework. Let's start from Trenord. Now, as is well known, Regione Lombardia, because of the overall global and national context, because of variable external factors, with a regional law, so there was no negotiation with the company, so with the regional law decided to postpone the validity of the existing contract. And in this moment, the situation is that the current contract has been postponed until the 31st of June 2023. We are completing the negotiation for the 10-year service contract, and we shall do that more or less at the end of the year, and then we have to go through a number of bureaucratic steps. As to MISE, we cannot or we are not in a condition to give you a date. We expect that within the year the relevant authorities decide what the new PF is going to be. As to the grants and subsidies by the government or compensation by the government. Now, in this moment, we haven't included within our accounts such compensation or grants. Because we haven't had any indication by the authorities. We're following the debate. We have our own assumptions, but we haven't posted in our accounts any compensation or grant for the motorway business. As to the inflation assumptions, well, we have considered around 1% once the new TEF is approved. We shall take that as a reference to plan the next economic period, so to speak. Next question with Stefano Gamberini, Equitas. Now, I don't know whether you finished answering the previous questions. If so, I can ask my own questions. Would it be possible to say something about your strategic plan after a year, especially about CapEx? Last year, it was assumed 160, 170, this year 150, next year 140, to get to 850 in 2025. Is this CapEx plan confirmed, or have you postponed something? And is the target for 2025 is confirmed? EBITDA, we have now 190 million euros of EBITDA, end of the plan, 250 million euros. Costs are changing, cost of energy, cost of gas is changing. But then you also mentioned the problem of traffic, which in certain cases do not go back to normal. I wonder whether the EBITDA, the combination between MISE, FNM, is something that you can achieve in terms of target for next year, or is it difficult to reach the level you expected, which I guess, and if I understood well, 220 million euros. And then in the current scenario, your own bond has a rate of 5%. The cost of financing is a bit higher. What are you going to do with the ROSCO contract with Trenord? 5.5 taxes and nominal rate for 20 years in the current scenario is extremely low to make profitable investments. I wonder whether there are some thoughts about it, and then what is the relevant authorities doing when it comes to the remuneration given from them to Trenord. And then another question, Mr. Puri, you mentioned rightly so that results are stable and that despite the complex scenario, the results are good. Notwithstanding this, Regione Lombardia has decided not to distribute any dividends on the basis of the 2020-2021 results. Now, in your opinion, why? Is that for reasons of cautiousness? And if so, what are these reasons? I mean, the results are stable. They would allow for a distribution of dividend or dividends. Is there any other investment which is expected to be done and which we are not aware of? And what is your proposal in the future? What kind of considerations have you made? Are there going to be any changes in your own dividend policy, or do you confirm your dividend policy? I'll start answering, says Mr. Puri, and then I'll give the floor to Mr. Puri. Now, to Valentina, I'm sorry. As to CapEx within the plan, last year we were below our forecast for the plan. This year we are in line with our expectations. Within the plan horizon, we believe that the overall amount of CapEx is going to be confirmed. And then the same applies to the question about EBITDA combination FNM and Milano Serravalle. Well, clearly enough, we are in a context where the external variables are under control. Not only we cannot control them, but they are out of control in general with speculations and so on. But the management team of the group maintain the position. Now, the pandemic appears to be under control, and we trust in the fact that the turbulence triggered triggered by the war in Ukraine cannot go on for a very long time, because the scenarios are going to be different and will not relate only to the, you know, revenues and the capital of F&M Group. We believe that in a couple of years, you know, without other elements that we cannot foresee, and considering that we hope that the effects of the you know, triggered by the war in Ukraine in the next 2 years go back to normal conditions or closer to you know, starting historical conditions. For this reason, we keep a positive view on you know, EBITDA, F&M and MISE contracts. Trenord, we are negotiating a 10-year contract. Now, this contract becomes very similar to the motorway contracts, because it is you know, guided by a PEF with variable costs. In March every year, there is a calculation of what is to be taken into account in the working out of the PEF. With Regione Lombardia, we are discussing a plan which is going to be, you know, taken or discussed before March 2023. The idea is that of defining a framework at existing conditions, and then have, however, the instruments and the possibilities to step in the case of meaningful changes that we obviously expect. I mean, we're speaking of March 2023. The conditions then will not be what the conditions are in this moment. And then your question about the contracts between F&M and Trenord. Now, in this moment, as I said, we are renegotiating contracts for a period of 10 years. Such negotiations requires that we get to a more stable condition, since we are negotiating a service contract, but also, as I said, in other opportunities, when it comes to this contract, we do not have, or we do not believe that we have huge room for maneuver to be able to introduce meaningful changes in terms of remuneration. But this is something that we are discussing in this very month. The last question on dividends. I can give you the management team view and opinion. Now, if we consider the first 6 months of the year, this is a group which shows stability and resilience, and we're confident about the plan in terms of the objectives, the targets that we have in the plan. As to the dividends, now the interpretation that we can provide is that there is a majority shareholder that has taken that decision, not so much, you know, in the light of the plan, the targets of the plan, and the well-being of the company, but because, it took its decision on the basis of its own sensitivity as a public administrator. Now, of course, there are economic and social conditions which have been brought about by, you know, the global overall context in the region, and this is why Regione Lombardia took that decision. The same applies to, you know, grants and compensations by the government. Of course, when it comes to F&M, there are companies like Trenord, which are not part of the consolidated accounts. The F&M system tries to provide confirmation about the stability of the overall business. For instance, the contracts, the relations between, you know, service public providers and the central or regional administrations. Now, we, in a nutshell, we do not see any second thoughts about, or we do not have any second thoughts about the capability to, you know, fulfill the targets of the plan. As you know, as far as we are concerned, we confirm whatever we have included in the strategic plan. Can I go back to what you said about grants? 75 million euros is what you should have for 2021, which is going to be paid for Trenord. But if I remember well, you recorded last year 96, or am I wrong? All this 75 million euros go for 2020 are going to be posted in 2022. Now, yes, you're right. 1996 were the requirements and compensations paid for 2020. They were posted in 2021, and this is quite consistent. So there is a calculation of requirements which considers the trends of revenues starting from ticketing revenues, costs dynamics. So there is a model which has been developed by the ministry and delivered to the companies. So recovery is ongoing. Passengers are coming back using our services, and for this reason, compensations and grants are going to progressively go down. 75 million is a result of the calculation of the requirements for 2021, and the requirements calculation for 2022 will be even lower. So 75 million euros will be posted in the accounts of 2022. Yes, as I said before, we have a you know, a lag of around a year between the calculations made by the ministry and when the money is paid by the government. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any question, you can press star and one on your telephone. The next question by Luca da Coccoli with Intesa San Paolo. You have the floor, sir. Now, good evening. Can you hear me well? Yes, we can. Thank you. I have a question which goes back to the issue of compensation and grants that you have just mentioned. You haven't received them yet because they haven't been yet formalized by the relevant authorities. But theoretically, if I am not wrong, in the second part of the year, they will have to be recorded and have a positive impact on the accounts of Trenord. So the first question is, am I right when I say this? And then net of such payments, I was wondering whether Trenord in full year 2022 will be able to reach the levels of revenues of last year, when you had, however, higher compensation and grants by the government. Another question about the increase in the stake of minorities that you mentioned before in a company. What is the rationale between of this move, or is it just financial reasons? You then mentioned an increase in margins, especially in Q2. I was wondering whether this can be also expected in the second part of the year. Could you please repeat the last question, which was not very clear? We couldn't understand what it was referred to. I hope you can hear me better now. Now, the second question has to do with the railways business. Now, following an improvement in EBITDA in absolute terms and as the percentage of revenues, what can we expect in the second part of the year? Thank you. Train business EBITDA. Now, as to the compensation from the governments, let me remind you, here I'm speaking in my capacity as CEO of Trenord. Now, there is a lag of 1 year between the final calculation and the payments and effects on our account. But despite this, Trenord has been able to prove to be very reactive. It closed the accounts of 2020 without compensations or partial compensation, benefiting from tax ease. You know, issued by the government, we closed the 2020 with a negative result. But then we went back to positive results the year after. Now, once we will be paid the requirements by the government that we have calculated around 75 million, of course, this will have a very positive effect on Trenord. We are also assessing some other variables because we do not yet know what kind of effect energy and fuel will have on 2020. Trenord, when it comes to Trenord, the cost of energy is related to the cost of a network access and a tolls network, which Trenord is paying to the railway infrastructure overall. And we are trying to understand what we have to take into account for 2022. As to TEM, the company that you were mentioning, where we have increased our stake, these are restructuring basically of the shareholding portfolio and of the company. Basically, this is what has occurred, and then we'll make our own considerations. It's just a restructuring of assets and equity stakes, which relate to the universe in which FNM is part of. As to railways, by the end of the year, we expect to be in line with our budget for Ferrovia Nord. We have the problem of phasing of the reimbursement and or the compensation of the grants by the government. And then please consider that we have a one-off. There's a meaningful portion related to the management of or disease allowances, but I think that by the end of the year we shall go back to budget levels. So I think that the half or the first half position, we will after the first part of the year we'll go back to initial conditions. Thank you. The next question, a follow-up question by Stefano Gamberini with Equitas. Now, I have a couple of clarifications to ask. The first, APL. Now, Mr. Puri, you underlined that light-duty traffic minus 29 versus 2019, whereas MISA, you are back to 2019 levels. What do you expect in the next few months? And then can you give us an update about investments? Regione Lombardia wanted, if I'm not wrong, put an end to certain investments want to conclude that investments for the update of infrastructure within 2026, the year of the Olympic Games. And then, Mise, can you help me understand the provisions that we have made for greater maintenance works? What are they in your investment plan? You have 350 million euros, are they confirmed, from now to the end of the period? And then, Ms. Again, what is the invested capital on which you are recognized a return by the regulator? This is the system used. And then if you can, if you have the data available for Trenord, what is the invested capital that you are taking into account? Thank you. I'll ask Valentina and Valeria later on to supplement my answers. Now, data, as to the first question, data tell us that MISA and APL are growing. Now, MISA's growth, 24% growth of light duty traffic, APL is even above 25% growth. I do not have now visibility of specific studies in this moment, but I can say that APL starts from a more limited traffic volume than MISA, and the better results of APL is due to this. On the one hand, you have recovery of traffic, and then you have a new motorway which is capturing new customers. But this is the answer that I can give you in this moment about this. I don't know whether Valentina or Valeria can answer your two other questions about investments. Now, when it comes to the main capex connected to Olympic Games, as far as I'm concerned, we are in line with expectations. Now, there are two main interventions here that are connected to the Olympic Games. And here, as far as I know, we are in line with the plan. Moreover, and on the basis of the experience that we have with Ferrovie Nord and Trenord and based on the experience that we have on hydrogen valley in the Val Camonica valley, now with this we are in line with having service stations fueled with hydrogen, two or three on the Ring Road and two on the Milano-Genova motorways. Now, as far as I'm concerned, about investments on traditional investments connected to the Olympic Games, we are basically in line with the plan. Now, I was not referring to MISA, I was referring to APL. Now, as far as APL, there is a project which is related to funding or financing activities which are related to the contractor, but there have been no changes. Now, I was reading in the press that everything has been not proceeding, everything is standstill because there is litigation in ongoing. Now, everything is connected to the completion of the contract with the contractor of the works, which is still being finalized. There's no litigation. This is just because the contractor is being finalized. Correct me if I am wrong, but this is what has to be completed. Okay. I do apologize. I did not understand the question, says Mr. Puri. Now, we are speaking of a contract which is very complex and which has to be developed within a context that we have already discussed. It's not a matter of litigation, but it's a matter of finalizing the contract. a piece of information that perhaps can help you understand what's going on is that those who are working, planning, and so what allows Pedemontana to start with the works, meaning the Milano Serravalle Engineering Company is working hard, and you know, Pedemontana has to make all of the necessary steps, and here we are speaking of a couple of months of delays, but the plan is confirmed. Now, last thing on the invested capital, I don't know whether my colleagues have recovered the data. As to the RAB of Mise, then we will supply you with more precise data, 350-400 million, so this is the RAB that we are looking at. Here again, there are no changes versus the past. Now, this is the only RAB which is being presented, and so we have no doubt about this. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. If you have other questions to ask, press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you have other question, press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, at the moment we have no other questions from the conference call. Well, thank you very much for attending this conference call. We are, however, available should you have any other requests of clarification. And if not, we shall... you hear from us during the November conference call, which is scheduled for the 11th of November. Thank you very much. Thank you and good evening.